Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a two-faced Twi'lek and a pugilist droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian captain and the Gandroid tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The writing on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way, the crew of the Sky on Fire acted upon information received and took a stroll down the underside of Ord Mantell to the Veiled Sorority's warehouse, where they cut through the perimeter with the efficiency of chronometer. Once inside, they explored with surprising freedom, securing a floor plan and setting up a nasty surprise for the unsuspecting pirates. They located their quarry deep within the base, surrounded by her followers. Unfortunately, the Queen was ready for their assault and loosed her guards while she prepared her escape. What will happen when the Queen at the back says everyone attack? Find out on this week's episode, Ballroom Blitz.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Our current adventure is Mask of the Pirate Queen, and this is Act 2, Episode 12. I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure. To learn more about our characters, we get one hero to ask another a question. Today, we will get Illyn to ask.
Barrowin, what sort of martial arts does Barrowin practice? It's very elegant and involves a lot of tail motions, Cat's noticed.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it a martial art, except, I mean, there was that time when I hit that guy with my tail in the air, or whatever it was I did. We learned how to use our tails in combat, as young Solonians. Schoolyard brawls are basically just us knocking each other down a bunch. I throw a little Terras Kasi in there sometimes. Ooh. Just a little. I have holotapes that I'm learning when I have the downtime.
Oh. Is that a type of spice?
No. It's a martial
spices,
art.
Spices, not spices.
Spice.
It's like the only martial art with an actual name in this setting.
Well, only one that's got an actual name and isn't a lightsaber style.
It is true.
Thank you, Barrowin, for enlightening Illyn on the subject.
Well, I have a suggestion. If you ever lose your tail, saber tail.
I mean,
Illyn doesn't think Barrowin could practice train style without a tail, though.
But lightsaber tail.
In this corner, we have the crew of the Sky on Fire. From the corporate sector, we have the Bulwark of Blue, the Literal Luma. Faster with a card than a fist, we have Billy the Dealer!
If you can't handle the cards, step away from the table.
Coming from the Ring of Thakba the Hutt, a tag team champion of the Loaded Saffrip, defeater of Clawfish, the Cold Shoulder!
Greetings and salutations. Thank you for coming. That's what you do, right?
You should present your bill.
Emphatic nodding.
From the Warrens of Solonia, the Captain of the Sky on Fire, Victor over Tesklar, Cleaner of Seleucami, Barrowin the Tailspin!
Tailspin's not a noun.
That's it. That's my thing.
I'm glad one of us is getting into this. Come on, Kev. Don't leave me hanging.
And finally, from the Mists of Gend, we have a special guest. A droid wright by training, a bounty hunter by profession, sniper of the Rusty Reach, our soon-to-be-crushed Gend, Illyn Kev!
Illyn is here to eat biscuits and light beings on fire, and Illyn is all out of biscuits.
Totally adapted from something Ben said once.
I support it.
Yes. Yes, that was a Ben quote that doesn't have any other pop culture references.
Together, they are the heroes of the Hadean Way. And in this other corner, we have Tur and Kel, Saffrips of the Veiled Sorority. And now for initiative.
Okay. Is it just the two of them we're up against, or are there other bad guys to worry about in the room?
The room was pretty full, right? Maybe they just don't care.
The room has parted. It is a large ballroom with a dais at the far end. Illyn and Berwyn have raced into about the middle of the ballroom. As the queen has said her piece and decided to leave, using a lot of despairs and dark side points from last episode, the socialites there have parted to either side with the protection of guards. And Tur and Kel, the two Savrips that are the queen's bodyguards, have pulled their spiked mauls into their hands and are racing towards the crew of the Sky on Fire. The guards themselves seem to be standing back and seeing what the heck happens, considering there are these two giant Saurian beings with, like, rear axle of vehicle size maces coming at you.
Okay. Hey, hey, gang. Just to point out a potential strategy here, where we left off last time, Illyn and Berwyn had spray foam grenades in hand when we entered the room.
Yep.
It might be super good to catch one of the Savrips or both in those, because that means they can't use maneuvers to close to melee with us. AKA, Illyn's probably going to panic and throw it anyway. That would be assuming we won initiative, which I don't know that we're going to. Is this vigilance or cool, by the way?
I'm going on vigilance for them. Considering you knew what was going on, I figured that it actually should be cool for all y'all.
That's the one I'm actually good at.
Okay, that's bad for me. That's really bad for me.
May I argue that we knew what was going on, but we didn't know they knew we were here. I mean, we as players knew because we could figure out where all those despairs were going. But I'll just roll the cool.
Don't worry, guys. I have one green. Hey, I got a success. And they both got triumphs on their initiative. What could go wrong? My plan with the grenades might already have fallen apart.
Well, I mean, we can just throw the grenades at them at engaged range.
And then run away?
I don't think that's going to work if we throw the grenades at them at engaged range.
You're welcome.
Just
also,
to be clear.
Also, so the audience knows, our current destiny pool is 4 light, 2 dark. It would have been 6 light, but Ben made me reroll.
Thank you for doing my job, Leslie. And for the other part, actually, no, Ben is still typing, so I can't say this yet.
I said I was flipping a Destiny plan at the beginning
of the adventure, yeah, to secure your cliffhanger. So our initiative order at the moment is one PC, then one NPC, then a PC, then an NPC, and then the last two PCs. So the guards have not gotten involved yet.
Well, but they both had triumphs.
Yeah, but both of them had triumphs, so they get free maneuvers.
Yep.
It's fine. Or only my obligation of near death activated.
Okay, so the way I'm envisioning this is that the entire ballroom is essentially long range from one side to the other. Illyn and Berwyn were running up, trying to get in as close as they could to spray foam the queen. But the queen was able to duck out before they were able to get there because they were only at medium range, not in range to use grenades. So right now, I'm figuring the two Savrips are jumping off of the dais and starting to run. They're essentially using their triumphs to get an extra maneuver, like you can, and are running towards Illyn and Berwyn. And I'm figuring at the other side of the room is Vastrano and Billy. Though, really, Billy and Vastrano could be anywhere up to where Illyn and Berwyn are.
Okay. So we have a PC slot first. So do we want to try for the grenades, or do we want our two melee fighters to maybe ride in like the cavalry they are?
Two melee fighters, jibbers? Kev?
Illyn means three, the other two melee fighters.
Smooth. do we want to have Illyn set people on fire before we get too far? Or would you rather die for the spray?
If Illyn goes, Illyn's going to throw a spray foam grenade.
I'm glad we've stopped to have this conversation. So these Savrips are charging us, right?
Yes, the Savrips are charging.
Okay. And they're, what, at short range now?
They are now at short range.
From Berwyn?
Yes.
Okay. Berwyn wants the first slot, but if Illyn's quick, Illyn can have the first slot.
Based on our initiative rules, I don't think that would be I don't think that would go to Illyn. I think Illyn might panic in this case.
Yep.
So if you want to take control of the situation, go.
Control of the situation is Barrowin's middle name, which is weird because she doesn't have a last name. Salonians don't have last names. Also, it's a really long middle name. Okay. Hey, Ben.
Yo.
Is it an action or a maneuver to shove Cav out of the way?
I figured that would be a maneuver.
Okay.
Where are you shoving Illyn towards? Like, just to the side here, or...
To the side, okay. Probably, depending on how much the crowd parted. Ideally, out of the way of the Savreps.
Just sort of consider this a, like, there actually are pillars in this ballroom. It's, the socialites have parted to behind the pillars, and the guards are at the pillars. There's an entire sort of middle where a dance would actually be. But in this case, we've got six beings doing a different kind of dance.
A dance of death.
Exactly.
All right, so maneuver to shove Illyn to the side. I'm guessing now short range away from you. So what are you doing with the rest of your turn?
I'm trying to decide how stupid I am for the rest of my turn.
Brandon, it's you, and Berwin did once grappling hook onto a giant crab monster.
Yep.
And flew at it.
Yep.
So
that
go
wasn't
crazy.
Stupid, Christine. That was awesome.
Okay, you know what? The two
have done stupid things. That just wasn't it.
I mean, there's sort of an A and, like, that's sort of a both line.
Yeah. No, I took Marshall Grace. Good. I forgot about that. Doesn't help me right now, but I have it. Oh, how stupid am I?
Whatever this is, I love it. Just so you know, I support you.
I'm either going to throw my grenade or I'm going to field commander. I don't think throwing my grenade is actually going to be very useful, and I think Barrowin probably knows that because ensnare is opposed by, you know, brawn.
Oh, can you break out of ensnare?
You can break out of spray foam grenades at least, yes.
Okay.
I forget if it's specific to spray foam grenades or if it is ensnare in general.
Okay.
Because I believe the number is like the difficulty.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Kinda I'm going like to look it up now because it is actually
pertinent,
very relevant to my turn.
I just want to say to whoever I accidentally shoot with the crate's breath tonight, I am so
it's gonna
sorry.
Be me. You know it's going to be me.
I'm ready for
it's
it.
It's probably going to be you.
I don't know. We'll see.
Trigger is immobilized for a number of rounds equaling to rating.
Yeah, but then they can take a hard athletics as an action.
That would be fun.
To break out.
Ah.
So it does at least take them the action.
There is that.
So even though I'm sure these guys can pass a hard athletics in their sleep, it would eat an action.
There is that.
Is there a chance you can get both of them?
Are they engaged with each other?
They're silhouette too. I would say probably not.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So do not try to deny them an action or give all of us free maneuvers.
Possibly actions depending on triumphs.
I don't know if Barrowin has improved. Do you have improved?
Huh? Improved field commander?
Yeah.
No, I do not. I forget if it's even in ship captain.
Yeah. Okay. My bad.
If it is, I didn't take it.
Okay. I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
Any which way.
Because the stuff that, like, ship captain really... It's the inspiring rhetoric, inspiring leadership stuff that's, like, the place ship captain goes in terms of making you an awesome leader.
Mm,
and then, like, yeah. Field commander's kind of there because it's a good, solid leader thing that is reasonable at a lower level.
Yeah. Okay, so what's it going to be?
Yeah, I think it's going to be... I think not throwing the grenade is too stupid, so I'm going to throw the grenade that I have in my hand. So they are at short range.
Yes.
Do they have any defense or anything like that?
Amazingly enough, yes, they do have defense one.
And Ben, are you going to flip a point?
No, not on this one.
Okay.
Mildly tempting, but no.
All right, here we go.
Well, these guys aren't adversaries?
Oh, yeah, are they adversaries or anything like that?
Nemesis?
They are nemesis, maybe, but they are not adversaries.
Okay.
Oh, our chances of survival just went way up.
Yep. All right.
I'm not sure I support the number of A's in your way. Maybe way up, not way up. Just up.
Yeah, it's really at most like a 3A way.
Well, now I'm much less likely to light one of you on fire instead of one of them.
I mean, we'll see about that. okay, so as the Savreps like come down off the dais and charge at Barrowin and Cav, one of the melee fighters and the ranged fighter. I want to make sure everybody's clear on that. Barrowin basically just like plants one paw on Cav's side and sort of kicks Cav into the crowd, or toward the crowd anyway, out of the Savrip's direct charge as much as possible. I'm not going to knock down Cav. That would be terrible. The tale is when I'm like, well, I'm going to lose, but maybe they'll kill Cav while I run away. And then Berowyn will throw the spray foam grenade that she had in her hand at whichever Savrip is the most directly in front of her.
All right, I will go with the right one.
Yep, so Savrip on that roll, we've got two successes and two threat.
All right, so what all does that do with the spray foam grenade?
The spray foam grenade does no damage, but automatically ensnares four.
Okay.
So it the spray foam grenade, the benefit of them is that it ensnare just triggers on hit instead of needing advantage. But they don't do any damage.
All right.
So what do the successes do then?
Nothing extra.
Oh, okay.
On the other hand, this did just stop Tur in his tracks.
Yeah, they're good for what they are.
Yeah.
But it's a trade-off for sure.
Yeah. So one of them is now like covered up to like their thigh with spray foam.
Yep.
Like on a normal sized person, this would be like up to their shoulders, but on them, not so much. And just it almost topples forward, but the spray foam is enough to just sort of keep it there rocking.
Okay.
But I'm thinking that this causes enough distraction because of everything going on that it would give the other Savrip a boost on whatever they're going to do.
Sounds good.
On account of you've got two threats.
Assuming whatever they're going to do is going to target Berowyn, that also makes sense because Berowyn is probably a little off balance.
Yeah. This is Tur. Who is the other one again?
Kel.
Thank you.
Hopefully Kel doesn't like insects.
Lastly, for Berowyn's turn... I'm just going to spend two strain to get an extra maneuver to draw her blaster.
Perfect. All right. So the other one, Kel, is racing up. The kind of notices that Tur is no longer pacing them, but spends their maneuver to get in to engage range with Berowyn, raise their spiked mace, and try and take a swipe at Berowyn.
I've got two defense.
Thank you. Wanting to spend a point?
What do we have? Like five? Four?
Yes. Let's see. That's her melee.
Yeah. Let's.
I'll be spending a strain from him.
Flip one of our points. So that's an upgrade plus the two defense.
Okay.
So let's just hope they don't hit me. Unless anyone wants to know what every bone in a Salonian's body breaking sounds like.
There's a boost and two setback.
We have a doctor. They can fix it.
You can probably take a hit from them.
One. Oh my goodness.
Oh my god.
On the plus side,
I might want to change my vote.
What?
So, Ben, what did they get?
Okay, so rolling for Kel's melee after using Frenzied Attack, because they do have one rank of that, they were able to get four successes, one advantage, and one triumph. So... the advantage is going to be going towards recovering the strain that they used to use Frenzied Attack. The 4 damage brings the total damage up to 13 from the physical hit. Oh, hey, it has Pierce 2.
13 Pierce 2?
Get base damage 9.
I mean...
like, it is a silhouette 2.
Right. Christine was very technically correct in that I could survive a hit.
Second hit. Not so much.
I am, however, at 12 wounds out of 15.
Hey, I want to point out, Illyn could have survived that hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, survived one hit.
it was not Illyn's decision.
All right, and...
go ahead, Crit.
You know you want to.
Go ahead, Crit.
Do it. Do it.
I am going to crit, because I don't do it that much, and this seems like the perfect time to.
Yep, this is... yep.
Oh,
that checks out.
What's the result?
Oh, dear.
Whoa, it's crippled. So, one of the target's limbs, I'm going with the arm that got hit, is crippled.
Is it the arm that she's holding her blaster with, or not?
I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
Is crippled until healed or replaced. Increased difficulty of all checks that require the use of that limb by one.
So I imagine when this, like, hammer or whatever hits Berwin's arm, we just hear this sickening crack.
Yes, this wet, sickening crack.
And then a lot of loud squealing.
I don't even think it's a crack. I'm pretty sure it's a crunch.
Berwin!
Ah!
Oh, dear.
Witsen lets one of the heroes go.
Do we want shooting or do we want droid flying?
I think, honestly, the natural reaction is Cav at this point, because you're there in the moment.
Okay.
But I will go flying if that is your preference.
No, I think Illyn would react. It's one of those things where if I were going to metagame, Illyn should shoot at the one that is not engaged with Berwin. But, but Illyn sees Berwin take this horrible hit, and Illyn is going to just kind of let the spray foam grenade roll out of their hand, use a maneuver to brace the crate's breath up against their shoulder, take aim on this the Savrip, and fire on Kel.
In a very real way, I hope you generate a spare. Like, I don't hope you didn't generate a spare, but it feels like it would be so perfect.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the very rare occasions where I'm willing to add an extra difficulty die by upgrading it by a destiny point.
Okay. Now, the fact that these guys are silhouette 2, I know that doesn't affect my difficulty, but I take it it also doesn't affect my chances to hit Berwin.
Sadly, no.
Okay. I had to try. Brandon, I am so, so sorry if I obliterate you.
Please flip back.
I don't know if Illyn will be able to live with themselves.
I mean, this would be the fulfillment of, like, our entire character arc. We both knew that one day one of us would kill the other.
You're talking about the player arcs now, not the characters, Brandon.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
It's like a Sith rule of thing, you know, just gotta surpass the master.
All right, so my difficulty is what, a red and a purple now? Red, purple, setback?
A red, a purple, and a setback, because they do have defensive.
Okay, only one chance to roll the despair. Please don't do this to me, Dice. Please don't do this to me, Dice. Oh my god, nice. It didn't do it to me. So, 3 successes and 5 advantages. So Ben... base damage, the Savrip is going to take, I'm within short range, so I actually get to add a damage to that, so it'll be 16 base damage, and for my advantages, I'm going to crit them back and light them on fire.
Okay, fair. What's the crit rating?
It costs me 3 advantages for that, then 2 to light them, or sorry, never mind, I'm wrong, only 1 to light them on fire, because the weapon is jury-rigged.
Hmm.
So then the last advantage, I'm going to pass a boost on to the next person to go. As Illyn has successfully at least distracted Kel for a moment.
Okay. You are going to crit?
Yes, I am. This might be the first crit I've done.
Okay, there is one small thing, which...
Durable?
Durable, too.
Okay. Minor nick, the target suffers 1 strain. It's not a very big crit, but they are on fire, so at the start of their next turn, they will take 12 damage. And the burn quality is only 1, so it only lasts 1 turn unless I shoot them again.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, so we see Illyn grab the crate's breath, fire, and the bolt like catches Kel, and it's for like the back of his shoulders, and we see the fire start to spread over whatever sort of like cloth or material he happens to be wearing. I'm hoping it at least got through his hide somewhat.
Oh yes, he is most certainly injured from it. His shoulder is pretty wounded from it, and the fire is spreading around his shoulder, his upper chest, both forward and back, and down his arm a bit.
Berwin, get out of there!
And, on to the next turn.
You're not the captain!
Okay, so, we have Tur. Tur is bound in the... spray foam grenade, and does have their mace out that if someone was within range, they would try and reach out and smack them, but no one is, so they're going to try and literally rip their feet out of the spray foam, just try and shatter it,
yep.
Or as close to this still foamy madness it is. Maybe the foam is dried enough that it actually will shatter for them.
I think the implication is the foam hardens extremely quickly.
Yeah,
and that's how you're ensnared, basically. Can we flip a point to upgrade the difficulty of the athletics?
I support it.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
I mean, fair.
So it's a hard athletics to break free of being ensnared.
Okay, so they are going to roll their athletics against two purple, one red.
Yep.
And they are able to break free. They've broke free with two success, meaning they get free, and then four advantage. And what I'm thinking is they're going to take a maneuver and get in close to Cav.
Okay.
For two of them. So they will now be engaged because they were at short range. And then they are going to yell, like, pretty much roar in Cav's face. And for the next person who goes, they get a setback.
Okay, so boost and a setback, whoever goes next. I think as part of this, when you know, Aelin yelled out at Barrowin, get out of there, and Tur comes running up on Cav, K1 starts to run away, going, Aelin, get out of there!
Okay, Rem.
Yeah, so Vastrana will immediately run as close to Barrowin as he can, because it seems as if that is the most pressing thing. And the Savrip is still sort of like over her, is that correct?
Yes, the Savrip is partially on fire over Barrowin, yes.
Okay, I was just trying to get a visual to describe. Okay, yes, so Vastrano is just going to, you know, yell out, Captain, in, you know, fear and concern, and rush up and sort of slide roughly in between Barrowin and the creature, and the Savrip. And as he is running towards the Savrip, trying to, like, you know, get a little bit of a glimpse as to where he needs to hit and slide in, get in between, and uppercut.
Okay.
It is a little bit of a panic punch, but needs to separate.
All right. In that case, I am going to flip a destiny point because that feels kind of necessary. So the difficulty would be one red, one purple, one setback.
Okay. Yep. That's what I'm about to roll. That would be two successes and a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for my very special Vastrano punches, is five. And then I'm definitely going to flip my point to do more damage, which I will do right now.
Okay.
4, 9, 13.
I'm curious, are you going to one-shot this guy?
Yes.
13 with bypassing soak strain.
And that's the entire reason why you are able to down them, because you are bypassing soak.
Hooray. But I do have a threat.
Who needs a lightsaber?
Yeah.
We got a doctor.
Yeah, in a very real way, lightsabers are the second most dangerous thing in the system.
I honestly kind of wonder, and maybe this takes a little bit of agency away from Barrowin, but since I am very roughly just getting in there and punching the guy that's going over Barrowin, if kind of like Barrowin gets shoved out and hurt a little bit more by my having done that, like I accidentally dislodge the bone just a little bit more or something awful that I will regret terribly later and feel terribly bad about.
I think the bones have to be in one piece to get dislodged.
There is that.
You know, I've seen a lot of breaks. Breaks can get very complicated if you continue to aggravate them.
Very true. What I'm figuring is that as you run in, as you push Barrowin out of the way, to do this punch on this flaming Savrip, you shove Barrowin and are now worried that you've done extra damage to Barrowin, thus getting, because Vastrano's worried, Vastrano gets the single strain from that. And yes, you have strained out Kel, so they fall backwards or to the side. I mean, no despairs were done, so I'm not having them fall on Barrowin.
And probably backwards, right, given this is an uppercut? Like, it's Vastrano goes in for the uppercut, it catches him, like, right under the chin, and there's just, like, sort of slow motion as Vastrano is still, like, going upward, and the Savrip is just, like, rocking backward already, and yeah.
Yeah, that totally works. So they come crashing down with a huge thump, and their shoulder's still on fire.
Yep, I was about to say, and they continue to burn a bit.
Yeah, so the part where they're strained out then just becomes they're also... This is basically a Yule log situation.
I mean, Yulogs are usually not living things anymore.
I mean, it's no Vader.
Usually.
We actually might be able to get out of this without anybody else being hurt.
Right. You just said that out loud. Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, it's clearly just you do your turn, then we have Vestrano go again, and I think this fight will be over.
I mean, this...
I get it. That's all I am, is fists to you. It's fine.
No. Then we need you to patch up Barrowin.
Which is done with Vestrano's fingers, which are part of Vestrano's fists. Cav actually just doomed Billy to get severely damaged because Billy can turn off her pain receptors. So she's not technically hurt.
It's okay. Ilan can repair any damage done.
I'm just going to run in and punch it.
All right.
With my fist.
And you're vibrilling, correct?
Yes. Since I don't actually have to draw my weapons, as soon as we walked in the building, it's like full Wolverine. Not that it matters because I'm not the doctor.
Oh.
Not the doctor, so my fists are second rate at best.
So you say.
To Cav, at least.
Hey, Ilan has a mighty... Ilan will just never use it, for it's too powerful.
Ilan still has flashbacks to the day that Ilan punched someone.
It's outlawed, and most civilized systems like disruptors.
I mean, disruptors are really good clothes recovery.
You know what? Cav has this. I'll walk over to Barrowin and help her get comfortable. I'll administer the first stim pack.
It's okay. Vestrano still loves Ilan.
Vestrano's going to be very occupied by a broken captain.
It's not broken. He's just a little broken.
Just a little broken. Just a little broken.
Do you want help or not?
Yes. Yes, please.
Thank you. I will come help you because you deigned to ask me for assistance. I'm not offended anymore.
Not irreparably broken.
I do like the notion that we just kind of stop caring about Tur because we're like, Kel went down really easy. And then he gets really upset.
Hey, Vestrano, come punch this one.
It's like we're supposed to be scary. And we're like, yeah, we're player characters. Don't get uppity.
Hmm. Are you going to flip a point to make my life more difficult, Ben?
Yes, I do like that.
I know it. I'm going to punch if I miss.
Exactly.
Ha-ha! Ooh, nice job, Leslie.
So I guess Billy decides that Cav does like her, so she might as well actually enter this fight, even though clearly she's not needed with Vestrano.
Wow.
No. So after Vestrano runs up all dramatic-like and not my captain, you punch. Billy will decide that, okay, they've got this. Let's go keep Cav from dying horribly, because as Vestrano has said multiple times, they can't help me. but so I flipped a point, and I'm gonna call that as I used...
There's no helping you.
There isn't, really. I promise. So she runs in, and at the last second, she kind of uses her repulsor boost just a little bit and goes in for also an uppercut and punches right along the jawline for... for a success and a triumph.
All right. So how much damage does that do, and what's the pierce?
Okay. 5 damage, pierce 1, and I can crit with the triumph?
Yes, you are able to.
Okay. That's what I needed to know. So...
Man.
It's okay. That's what I got, too.
There's some significant crit disparity in this session.
Well, we all know what D1 thinks of me, so the fact that I got the connect at all is fine.
D1's just had it with Barrowin.
Yeah, so it's another minor nick, folks.
Oh, yeah, I rolled 15.
Yeah.
Minus 10 for a total of 5.
Yep.
Woo!
So we are just giving
sarcasm
them, like,
confetti.
Like, shaving cuts, basically.
Yeah, small, only vaguely irritating lacerations.
But, question... Since I appeared surprisingly in its face, do I still get to count my fearsome?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll go with that. At the start of its turn, it will absolutely roll fear check. 100%. So then that brings us to the end of the first round, which then, deserve to recap, we now have one Savrip that is laying on their back with part of their chest burning right in front of... Vestrano and Barrowin. At short distance from them, you've got Ilan and Tur and Billy. Billy just finished punching Tur. Ilan's right in close with the Kryat's breath. And up on the dais, you have this woman of average height with platinum hair and a glittering suit that's like,
what do you think you're doing? Get them!
So the queen at the back said everyone attack? I had to get it in. I'm sorry. I'm going away again.
That was good.
So not that easy a fight.
I mean, how often do I get a krennic?
Wait, they're going to super laser this place?
Only to take her out?
No, we're that dangerous.
They built a Death Star just to take out our party.
Yeah, they received the intelligence assessment on how dangerous Vastrano would be if he ever fell into the Rebellion's hands. The Death Star is just a response.
The Death Star 2 was actually supposed to be powered by Vastrano, but they were unable to acquire him.
All right. So in this case, it does look like that has spurred a few of the guards who are protecting into moving. And instead of just protecting, there's a squad of them that is now moving to actually try and engage with all y'all.
Okay. And then is the third slot her, Platinum?
No, I'm still going with her at the end. I am just wanting to keep track of when Kel burns.
Okay.
Because he only burns for one more round.
Yes.
So, I mean, if there's a way to recover strain, aren't we so glad we don't have, like, the android stuff where they could just inject him?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that brings us to the start of round two, where, yes, we do have the lady up on the dais who is standing. She is now standing in behind the podium where the queen had been. This had been the woman standing next to the queen and is just looking out furiously over the fiasco that is going on before her. Doesn't seem to be cowering or anything like that. Just like, what are you doing?
Okay.
So we have a player character.
Can I take the top slot?
Sure.
I need to take a turn to, like, kind of whimper a bunch.
if you would like to do that, sure. I know what our smart move is, but I'm okay with not doing our smart move.
Maneuver to whimper a bunch. Barrow
and... Okay, you can cry as a free action. Oh, wait, once.
there's probably some, like, her eyes are probably watering a bit. She has probably been making kind of, like, a low squeaking noise.
Oh.
You're breaking our heart.
Wow.
We broke my arm.
True.
Hey, it's still attached. For
Barrowin grits her teeth and says,
We're wrecking all of your people until we get to the queen and finish this fracking job. Everybody, this is what we've been building towards, so show them what we've got.
Inspiring leadership role, which is an action.
Okay, that's pretty impressive.
Took me a long time to afford this talent. It is an average leadership role. Would you like to upgrade it or otherwise modify my difficulty, Ben?
I can. I do on account of, and honestly solely because you've taken the crit.
That seems fair.
Otherwise, I'm a sucker for these roles.
Can we have a boost since Vastrano just did something epic and awesome? So we have some hope?
Was it really that epic, or was it just...
It was pretty epic.
Pretty normal for him.
But true. It looked epic because of the fire, Ben. Is that better?
I'm going to counterflip on to give myself an extra green just to be, like, extra sure this happens.
Whoa!
Oh my word!
What just happened?
Amazing just happened.
The dice have gone crazy.
Wow.
What are your results?
I got a success, an advantage, two triumphs, and one despair.
You gestured with your arm and it falls off.
Yep, apparently. So, I succeeded. So, allies equal to my presence, which is 3, in short range, which I think everybody is.
Yep.
Get a success to their next check. So everybody gets an automatic success on their next check. For the advantage, I would like to recover a strain.
Okay.
Because I'm a little worried. I've got to grit my teeth and I can't recover a wound, so I just have to get more lucid if I can. Do you have an inkling of what you'd like that despair to do, Ben?
To be honest, not really.
Yeah, me neither.
A little hazy as to what that's going to be.
Kel wakes back up.
Yeah, I inspire Kel.
I mean, it is a despair in this whole circumstance. It could be the, you know, I think that would be a fair way for a nemesis to recover a little bit of strain.
Yeah, just the Savrips are really competitive, and so, like, now that I've made this obvious statement of how awesome we are, they're like, well, I'll show you.
Like, one of the things coming from this role, I've got no idea if you want to, like, spend a triumph on it or something. I'm really thinking that the courtiers are going to make for the exits now. That things have gone so far out that all the people who had sort of been standing around like, this is great sport, and then are now, oh, crud, we're gone.
Oh, they mean business. Okay.
Pretty much. It's like, okay, check please. Yeah. So now, off to the sides, you've got people just screaming and yelling.
Okay.
You've got some guards who came in at the start of last round, or at the start of this round, who were going to be protecting now. What do you want to do with those two triumphs? Like, is one of those going towards getting everyone else to clear out and giving you more room to work in? Or
I actually think more room to work in hurts us more than it helps us, frankly. I think it certainly at best breaks even, so I don't think I necessarily want to spend a triumph on that. I'm open to ideas from the party as well, if anybody has like a awesome thought.
The most basic idea is maybe you could pass on like upgrades to two people, since it's part of inspiring leadership.
Yeah, like that's
kind of like that's the safety net option.
Yeah.
So last game, we flipped the switch on the oxygen and it was getting smoggy and gross. Can we have like that? All of this has taken long enough that that's starting to affect the people, aka not us, that aren't prepared for the eventuality.
That's also a good idea. Maybe it starts imposing setbacks to them or something of that nature, or starts dealing like strain in air quotes, which would be like wounds for minions or rivals. I don't know.
To be honest, I didn't remember the. I thought y'all went with a different plan.
No, we were trying to make it harder for them to operate in here, so we didn't mess with the oxygen. Leslie is correct. Or rather, I think what we were trying to futz with the power. We failed to do that, and I think we succeeded on like opening up the like windows to the outside and start bringing it in.
Though I think that was what we got. I think that was one of the worlds we got a spare on, so it was like a success with like they probably noticed us doing it, because I believe that was one of the ones that it was like you spent it, but we didn't know how yet because we hadn't walked into the room to see that they knew we were here basically.
Yeah, I could go with some of the oxygen is starting to come out.
What's Platinum Hair armed with?
Currently, she hasn't drawn anything, but she does have a very obvious rapier on her belt.
Okay.
All right, you doing anything else for your turn, or?
I'm hung up on the triumphs. Okay. I think a triumph to have the atmosphere start to go bad is solid since we set that up. Last time, and yeah, I think for the other triumph, I'm just gonna pass probably Cav an upgrade.
Okay.
As Barrowin locks eyes with Illyn, gives Illyn the, I shoved you out of the way of that train for a reason. And by train, I mean Savrip.
Illyn nods when you look Illyn's way, and then let's see if Illyn gets hit by a giant mace or if it hits Billy.
Did you see what the despair was?
No.
Okay. I just was like, I was trying to pay attention, and I was like, wait a minute.
So, we have Tur, because Kel's flat out currently roasting.
Oh, I should have asked Platinum to make a fear check. Yeah, oh well.
It's all right. Illyn will make her make a fear check soon.
Or just set her on fire.
Speaking of fear check.
Ooh, fear check from me.
Oh, that's right. It's a fear check in our favor.
I am going to flip a destiny point, because that seems like an idea.
I have two ranks.
Yep, you have two ranks. Are you willing to flip one back?
Sure. I mean, if the folks don't mind.
Go for it.
Yeah, we still have a lot.
I can stand almost eye to eye with them. They're not used to that.
And because of the woman in the silvery suit, they get a boost. Especially because she just yelled at them to, like, get this done.
Dadgummit.
Alright, so they succeed, and with one success and three advantage. I'm figuring that that means they're going to be targeting Billy and recovering a strain.
Seems fair.
And by targeting Billy, they're taking a boost. Then, yeah, they're going to attack Billy. They're going to then spend the strain that they just recovered.
Two crazy attack.
I know. With the frenzied attack, what does Billy have for defense?
Dos defensos.
Okay. Are you wanting to upgrade this check?
Yes, the answer is yes.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I believe you are the tankiest member of our party. That doesn't mean we want you to take a lot of damage.
All right. So in that case, the roll happens. Wait, they got a boost. I forgot about the boost. I almost forgot about the boost.
Don't worry about that boost.
Wait, where did they get a boost?
From
their fear check.
Fear check.
I call shenanigans. I just want to say it now.
They had a bunch of advantage.
Okay, Ben, what do you got?
No, not on that. On the roll.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
On account of they got two successes, two advantage, and a triumph. I mean, fair. I would call shenanigans too. Especially because a boost actually really showed up with a success and an advantage. So that would be doing 11 damage, pierce 2. And you have durable?
Yes.
How much durable?
I just have one rank in durable because it's natural.
All right. So I'm going to...
So it's 11 damage?
Yes, 11, pierce 2, minus your soak. So with the triumph, I'm going to crit. And with the 2 advantage, I'm going to shove Billy. All right. Yeah, I'm going with you. Y'all are right. Also, I'm kind of glad that I rolled 80, not slightly higher, on account of Billy now has scattered senses.
Shenan.
Billy removes all boost from checks until the end of the encounter.
Agains. I'm watching you, D1.
Could have been worse, Barrowin points out, indicating the arm that is just kind of like hanging at her side at a slightly weird angle.
You say as Billy crunches and then is sent skidding across the floor, unable to pay attention to you because her senses are scattered.
You know, her scatters her senses. That's correct.
You know what might be poetic here? Like, we see like one of her photoceptors is like crunched in a little bit. Nilan's going to later on be like, your eye!
I like it. Billy's one eye is kind of flickering. It's still there. It's just like... It's like an out-of-alignment headlight, and it has a crack down the middle.
That is kind of perfect.
We can be pirates together.
Yarr!
Alright, so we do now have... Technically, we've got three PCs going.
Wait, what does shove actually do, by the way?
You move to short range from them.
But I'm not actually, like, on my butt.
No, you're not.
Okay.
It's a forced movement of a NPC.
Billy or Vistrano? One of you two should take this. My action will work just as well in the last PC slot as it would now.
I mean, I would happily retaliate, but...
Yeah, you just got flung. I feel like that's... Yeah.
Okay.
Don't forget, you have a success.
I have a success.
Yep.
Well, Billy will retaliate.
All right.
Purple setback. You're not making life difficult?
I am not.
Okay. So, Billy will charge, and let's try this again, shall we?
You left out the success, so you actually have a success and two advantage.
I am actually also going to use something I learned from my friend Vorin and use second chances. I have two ranks, so I'm re-rolling two of my yellows.
All right.
So, let's try that again, shall we?
Come on, Billy.
I'm just re-rolling the two yellows.
Ooh, nice.
All right, thank you. So, with her skid whiff... reorient and punch, Billy manages to land 2 success, 4 advantage. So she punches this stupid thing.
All right.
For 6 damage. Pierce 1, and then crit.
All right. So you've got vicious 1. This is the second crit on the guy, so it would just be straight crit.
Not bad. Well, not super useful. But...
I mean, worst case, this is taking care of his durable.
Yeah. I mean, it's adding up.
Yeah, no, that's great. So she punches, and I guess that's it. She's going to make sure she's positioned between Tur and Cav, one way or the other.
All right.
For our listeners, the crit rolled was a head ringer, so the target increases the difficulty of all intellect and cunning checks by one until the end of the encounter.
But more importantly, it's a second crit, which means the two ranks of durable don't count anymore.
Yes.
On account of it's a savrip, like, we're not expecting much from intellect or cunning. Though, I mean, really on these ones, it's kind of surprising, but that's beside the point.
It's been a very crit-heavy altercation.
Yes, and we're far from over.
Okay, and then Kel smolders.
Okay, yeah, takes 12 damage.
Minus soak. So, yeah, they're still alive. Ha. They're just there breathing. On the other hand, now the plasma fire on their shoulders are gone out.
Vastrano, you should go first.
I can reach the other Savrip from where I am, correct?
Yeah, you would need to take a maneuver to get there, but yes. Yeah. Yes, you would.
Okay. Maneuver to get over to the Savrip. I will go over and attempt to punch in some delicate place. I don't know how to fluff up punching verbally.
Vulnerable spots.
I'm gonna go punch real good.
You're hitting pressure points. Vulcan neck pinch.
At this particular point, you're kind of punching where Billy's softened him up.
I guess that's a good point.
We're going for, like, things that he's no longer defending because he's otherwise occupied. So you're going for a tendon.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Go for that Vastrano nerve pinch.
See, that's the thing I've always been trying to avoid saying.
Why? Why? We all love it. I'll punch it.
So it is going to be one red, one purple, one setback.
Okay.
And this image actually is going
to
be.
Okay. I was just about to ask if there was anything else I was missing. Oh.
Well.
Sorry.
That wow. Right.
That's cool. Well, that's fun.
What do you got?
I have a failure, and 3 advantage, and a triumph, but a failure. I don't think I've ever had a combination like that before. That's interesting.
Oh, your first failure. Canceled triumph, as we refer to it in my home group.
It's just a very interesting combination.
All right, so what are you wanting to do on the advantage and triumph? Because as you try and punch on them, this time it doesn't connect properly in a first for
your punching. How much visible armor are they wearing?
I mean, it does look like they've got armor plates on. It's looking... They're really playing up the Queen's Retinue kind of style here. So, like, it's not Stormtrooper-esque or Mando-esque quality of full enclosure stuff. They do have their faces open, but they do have... It does look like visible patches of armor on their clothing.
So would it be feasible that even though I missed anything very critical, that maybe I, you know, sort of on my very rough, fumbly punch over, have dislodged a very useful piece of armor that may sort of fall off or no longer be super useful to them?
Yeah, I can go with that.
Give the next person a nice, softer spot to go at. I don't know. I never know how big you should be, so yeah. Yeah, it's totally accidental and absolutely just like a totally fumbling thing, but it, you know. No, I haven't used any strain, so I don't use my advantage.
You can always pass on some boost.
Yeah, I'd like to pass on some boost because I've really got nothing for this.
And you can actually do 2 boost because you can do a bouncing and a targeted.
Yeah, who do you want to have the targeted boost?
I guess it makes sense to kind of target Cav or Illyn.
Yeah,
in a way, kind totally of like, does. I notice that the armor has fallen off and I kind of like give Illyn a sidelong glance.
Oh, Illyn's otherwise distracted.
Oh, that's fair.
On that count. But one way or the other, you're giving them time.
Yeah. Like, you're getting in the Savrup's way enough to let Illyn get a good shot.
Cool, cool.
Assuming that's what they're doing.
Oh, Illyn will be shooting. In fact, are we, is that it for Vastrano's turn?
Yeah.
So, from Illyn's perspective, Illyn fired at Kel, Tur ran up on Illyn, and Billy, like, dramatically jumped in the path at the last moment, punching back this behemoth as she's taking these devastating blows. And then Illyn's trying to bring the rifle to bear when Vastrano then jumps in and is throwing punches of his own. And Illyn's trying to track through the chaos to get a bead on Tur. And Illyn, since Billy sort of, like, placed herself between them and Tur, Illyn's backing up out to short range with a maneuver. And that's Fair. When Illyn notices the platinum-haired lady with the sword, who is yelling orders, and guards are starting to move, and Illyn's compound eyes can't narrow, but if they could. Illyn brings the rifle to bear and is going to aim.
Okay.
And is going to try to shoot platinum hair.
All right, so this is at medium range.
Okay.
And you will be rolling against... Actually, I'd say the dais actually... Or the stand on the dais gives her partial cover, so I'll give a setback for that.
Okay.
And she's adversary two.
Okay. All right. I'm going to flip a destiny point, because with this character, I will never roll this many yellows on a combat check ever again. So, Illyn is currently rolling... Oh, wow, I'm so not done. Illyn is rolling four yellow... Five boosts versus two red, a setback with an automatic success. That is certainly a roll. Four successes, eight advantages, and a despair. So, first, the base damage is going to be 16, Ben.
Okay.
Hopefully she takes notice of that. Second, I'm going to spend one advantage to light her on fire.
Nice.
Oh, did I kill her?
Maybe.
I'd say light her on fire anyway.
Sure, it's only one advantage and it's funny. So I guess Illyn obliterates this woman?
Pretty much.
Okay.
I thought you didn't bring a disruptor.
I didn't. I brought a plasma caster. And in that case, this will make it a little bit easier. Can I use some of those advantages to give the guards pause as they've seen one Savrip taken down, the other one pretty mangled, and then their leader just... basically turns into a very charred corpse in an instant.
Okay, I could kind of go with that.
How many do you want? Do you want to treat this as a fear check, or...?
Yeah, I kind of want to do a fear check for the two groups.
All right. So I'm at least using four... I'm happy to use four of these advantages towards that effect.
All right. I'm figuring that that should be a hard check. Yep. Okay, so... yeah, right now, you've got most of them just breaking and running.
Awesome. Then with my remaining advantage, I'm going to pass on a bouncing boost, and specifically I'm going to pass on a boost to Barrowin as Illyn looks back at her for a moment, and that that creepy, terrifying smile appears across Illyn's mandibles. What do you want the despair to be? I mean, yeah, Leslie just suggested in the chat, the Knot Queen is the only one who got set on fire. I mean, there could be, like, backlash from the Crage Breath or something. This is a weapon assembled some time ago, and it's been heavily modified.
What I'm more thinking is, okay, I'm going to kind of use what Leslie's suggesting, and I'm going to pull a Ben special. Uh-oh. On account of I'm using what Leslie was... talking about with getting the atmosphere into the area. I'm using the... it sets other things on fire, as in it sets the... it sets gases on fire in the ballroom. And now the entire ceiling is on fire.
So, I think there's... Illyn turns, smiles at Barrowin, there's a pause, and then that's when we hear the little, like, explosion sound as the fire starts to spread. And
pretty much.
The smile drops. And we just have a shot of Illyn looking up at the ceiling, and we just see their sunglasses reflecting fire.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydian Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydian Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
I am Leslie at LeslieGS.
I'm Ren, and I'm Atomic Firebird. Not to blame for this current fire.
Surprisingly.
not to blame for many fires, actually.
Especially not the one on the sky.
Yeah, that's always Cap's fault. I'm on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
And you can find me, Christine, and Illyn with their magnificent flamethrower rifle on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th Night with a K. Also, I have another podcast, a D&D 5e podcast called The Glass Dagger. We just wrapped up our first season. And probably about the time you're listening to this, we have something a little special coming out. And you can learn more about that and listen to it over at CompleteKnight.com, also Knight with a K.
We are all at TheHeidianWay.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Heidian Way.
Our podcasts are on Apple and Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Heidian Way. And you can holocom us at heroes@theheidianway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/theheidianway.
Or you can donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/theheidianway.